We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Supreme Court's oldest justice is retiring, how that will affect the court, and why the Federal Reserve is preparing to raise interest rates in mid-March.
You know, my sense of it is that inflation right now is really pretty much driving the debate for the Federal Reserve.
We'll have more on the Fed's thinking and the potential impacts. Plus, the Disney princesses and Barbie are having a reunion. It's Wednesday, January 26th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer plans to retire at the end of the High Court's current term. That's according to people familiar with the matter. Wall Street Journal Law Bureau Chief Brent Kendall has more on how that could change the court.
Now we have what's effectively a 6-3 court with six conservatives and three liberals. You know, Chief Justice John Roberts is probably the most moderate of the six conservatives, and Justice Breyer is probably the most moderate of the three liberals. So it may very well be that who President Biden nominates will be somebody who is a little bit more to the left than Breyer was. But on some of these big, divisive, ideological kinds of cases, you know, it's unlikely that anything about this nomination will change the outcome of those sorts of cases. What it does do is give him the chance to put somebody on the court who is 20, 30 years younger and sort of solidify this seat as one with a justice who will take a more left-leaning view of the law for decades.
President Biden declined to comment on Breyer's retirement earlier today, but Senate Democrats said they would move quickly to fill the seat. Brent says the vacancy would allow Biden to make good on a campaign promise.
The president has pledged to put the first black woman on the Supreme Court, and so that is what people are focused on. I mean, the name you hear come up most often is Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, who is a former clerk of his. She was a trial judge and then has recently been confirmed to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, which, you know, is largely considered the second most powerful federal court in the country because they review all sorts of government rules and regulations. There are several justices who came from the D.C. Circuit. So she seems, you know, somebody who's clearly going to be on the short list. I mean, there could be others. You know, President Biden in his lower court judicial nomination so far has really made diversity a priority, both in terms of race and ethnicity and in terms of work background. And as part of these nominations, he has nominated several black women to prominent lower court judgeships. And so, I mean, it's possible that one or more of those people could be on this shortlist as well.
U.S. stocks gave up earlier gains today after the Federal Reserve indicated plans to raise interest rates in March. That's the same month it will end its stimulus program after one more round of asset purchases. Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
This is going to be a year in which we move steadily away from the very highly accommodative monetary policy that we put in place to deal with the economic effects of the pandemic. And that's going to involve a number of things. It's going to involve, and it does involve, finishing asset purchases. It's going to involve lifting off, and it's going to involve additional rate increases, as appropriate.
The Dow dropped 0.4%, and the S&P 500 fell 0.1%. The Nasdaq was up 0.1%. We'll have more on the Fed's first policy meeting of the year and what interest rate hikes could mean for the job market in just a few minutes. The Securities and Exchange Commission is proposing to expand oversight of private markets and require more disclosures from private equity funds and some hedge funds. SEC Chair Gary Gensler said the goal is to give regulators a deeper understanding of their operations and strategies so they can better spot risks building up in financial markets. SEC data shows the amount of net assets managed by private funds has more than doubled in less than a decade, from $5.3 trillion in 2013 to $11.7 trillion in the first quarter of 2021. A slew of big companies came out with earnings today. Boeing reported a loss of $4.3 billion for 2021, its third annual loss in a row. And the plane maker says production problems and delivery delays with its 787 Dreamliner would cost it another $4.5 billion. Boeing delivered only half as many jetliners last year as its rival Airbus, but it has secured more orders and says it plans to boost production further in 2022. Deliveries of the Dreamliner aren't expected to resume until April at the earliest. And Tesla cruised to a record annual profit last year, over $5 billion in sales, up from $721 million in 2020. That was its first full year of profitability. But the EV maker says that supply chain disruptions and chip shortages are likely to continue through 2022. Coming up, the Fed is likely to raise interest rates in March, what it says about the recovery.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Federal Reserve says it's keeping interest rates near zero for now, but is preparing to raise short-term interest rates in mid-March to combat persistently high inflation. The Fed has also approved a final round of asset purchases as it winds down stimulus measures it put in place during the height of the pandemic to shore up the economy. Following the central bank's two-day policy meeting, Chair Jerome Powell said the Fed would continue to adapt to the economic environment over the coming year.
Economic activity expanded at a robust pace last year, reflecting progress on vaccinations and the reopening of the economy. Fiscal and monetary policy support and the healthy financial positions of households and businesses. Indeed, the economy has shown great strength and resilience in the face of the ongoing pandemic.
Joining me now with more on the Fed is Michael Derby, a special writer for WSJ Pro Central Banking. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Mike, officials had vowed to hold interest rates near zero until the labor market reached what the Fed refers to as maximum employment and when inflation is near the target of 2%. Let's start with the labor market. How are Fed officials viewing the recovery there at this stage in the pandemic?
The Fed's current view on the job market recovery is that it's been remarkably fast, especially compared to past cycles, that, you know, the job market has come swinging back. There are many, many millions of jobs out there that are, you know, going unclaimed. And so that is all a very, very positive thing for Fed officials. I mean, they definitely do think over the long haul that there is still more improvement to be had. They have a sense that a lot of people are still, you know, staying out of the labor force to deal with pandemic-related issues, maybe caregiving, things like that. But that over time, as the pandemic subsides, you know, assuming that it does subside, if that gets better, those people will come back in and they'll be able to find jobs. So they have a fairly, you know, positive outlook for the job market going forward.
Well, let's talk about inflation, which has been a little bit trickier in the past few months. The Fed had said it would likely exceed the 2% target for a little while. How are Fed officials feeling about the threat of inflation right now? Are they more concerned, less concerned? What's the reading there?
You know, my sense of it is that inflation right now is really pretty much driving the debate for the Federal Reserve. After sort of decades of facing persistently low inflation as the economy reopened in the pandemic, inflation has surged, you know, back to levels, you know, seen back in the early 80s. And these are high levels of inflation where most people are not used to seeing in the economy. The Fed has a mandate to keep prices stable, and that's not happening right now. So monetary policy in all of its facets is pivoting towards moving to a place to help rein in inflation. And one of the important takeaways from the press conference today was actually that Chair Powell said that he believes, you know, rates could actually go up quite a bit without actually harming the labor market. So the Fed often faces like a tension between if it raises rates to control inflation, it oftentimes puts people out of work. In this scenario, they don't think that that's likely to be the case. So that gives them a lot more space to press forward aggressively because they believe they can cool down inflation while not putting anybody out of work. You know, nobody wants to be in a cycle of abrupt rate rises, but if it's got to happen, this is sort of the best and most benign environment to have a process like that play out.
And we know Wall Street has been watching this very closely and anticipating that the Fed might move to accelerate the pace of rate hikes. Tell us a little bit more about the Wall Street reaction in the days leading up to this Fed policy meeting and today.
Well, I mean, as you can see, you know, the markets have been in a lot of turmoil over the idea that, you know, Fed stimulus is going to be withdrawn from the market. I mean, the Fed officials have telegraphed this very clearly that this is what is going to happen. Going into this, you know, there had been some commentary from Fed officials, you know, asset values were elevated. And the most visible thing is always the stock market and the swoons the stock market goes through. And in Fed watcherland, stocks are actually one of the lesser things of importance to monetary policy. They're much more concerned about bonds and borrowing costs. And Chair Powell even said in in the press conference, you know, we're focused on the real economy. And, you know, what's happening in stocks is not what's driving their policy. But, you know, investors are having to come to terms with the fact that, you know, near zero interest rates and, you know, aggressive Fed actions to depress long-term interest rates are coming to an end. And so, you know, we'll see as these things start to actually take place, because the Fed did signal pretty strongly that there's going to be an interest rate increase in March. After that, we don't know what happens. But, you know, we'll see how the markets take it once the reality of tightening monetary policy arrives, rather than just sort of the threat and talk about it.
And we did also learn some more details about the Fed's plans to unwind its asset purchases. Can you tell us a little bit more about the plan there?
So still a bunch of vague things that are going on there, but it's going to happen fairly quickly. In the wake of the financial crisis, when the Fed raised rates, it waited several years before it started to shrink its holdings of bonds and other things. This time, they're going to move much more quickly to do it. Chair Powell, you know, a lot of the details haven't been hashed out. They've still got to talk about what they want to do, but it's going to happen fairly quickly and could, you know, given some of the little tea leaves that he gave us today, that could start to happen by the summertime. And again, lots of uncertainties there. Markets don't always react the way you expect, but that could be a time when long-term bond yields start to rise. And so things like mortgages will start to get more expensive. Auto loans will start to get more expensive. And those are all things you would expect to see in a monetary policy tightening cycle. But again, some people might see those things and not enjoy what they're seeing when it happens.
Chair Powell did acknowledge the impact of the Omicron surge. Mike, taken together, what do the actions from the Fed and its projections for the year ahead tell us about where we are right now in the recovery?
They view this as a very strong economy, a very strong recovery, you know, a much faster recovery than what happened after the financial crisis. The unemployment rate is already down close towards levels where it was before the pandemic struck. So those are all, you know, pretty positive things. It's just, again, this inflation situation that they've got to get under control. Most parts of the economy seem like they're doing very well or have the potential to do very well. The supply disruptions that they still are tying to inflation, that's going to take quite a while to abate. And Chair Powell, you know, talked about that. And that's also something that's out of the Fed's hands. There's nothing really monetary policy can do to fix, a supply chain that's disrupted by workers who are out sick or whatever's going on there. But yeah, they're pretty positive about where the economy is and what its potential is, you know, over the year ahead. And, you know, I'll note I had an interview with the St. Louis Fed President James Bullard earlier this year, and he talked about the idea that the unemployment rate could go under 3%. You know, we could see a high 2% unemployment rate by the end of the year. And that's something you have to go back to the Eisenhower years, or actually maybe even the Harry Truman years, to see.
That's Mike Derby, a special writer for WSJ Pro Central Banking. Mike, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, Cinderella, Moana, and Elsa are reuniting with Barbie. In 2016, Mattel, the company that makes Barbie and Hot Wheels, lost the license to produce Walt Disney's princesses and Frozen dolls to rival toy maker Hasbro. It was a huge setback, but Mattel executives had vowed to win the princesses back, and they have. Our reporter Paul Ziobro says the company made some major changes to seal the toy deal.
They went through four CEOs in 4 years, you know, who tried to fix this problem. And it wasn't until Ynon Kreiz came in 2018 that things started to stabilize, at least in the C-suite, but then also with the company's performance. He's led the company on a nice little turnaround the last few years, taking out over $1 billion in costs, right-sizing the business, reorganizing how they, you know, kind of manage the brands. Before, Mattel was split up into boys' toys and girls' toys and infant toys, and now it's sort of revolved around categories. There's dolls, there's vehicles, there's action figures. And kind of the appeal to Disney, Mattel's executives told me, was that Disney Princess and Frozen dolls weren't going to be managed under, you know, licensed brands or under girls. They're going to be managed by dolls. They're going to be managed by the same people that have run Barbie very successfully over the last few years.
Mattel will take over the licenses in 2023. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.